So yesterday, unions took government to court, the Labour Appeals Court, to try and enforce the three-year wage negotiation settlement, which would have guaranteed them a third year in a row of increases. I don't know about you guys, and maybe just for the sake of science, let's get an anecdotal sense. Send me a WhatsApp just saying whether or not you got an increase in the last consistently over the last 3 years. That's, of course, unfortunately, for those of us who still have work. These are employees who, again, I want to stress that these are not political fat cats, which is often the assumption. We're talking about your average government worker. We're talking about a nurse. We're talking about teachers. We're talking about police officers. And, of course, we appreciate the work that they do for us where service is actually delivered. But, unfortunately, there simply is nothing left in the coffers. Yesterday, President Cyril Ramaphosa sent out a tweet saying global response is required so that Africans don't slip into debt crisis, whereas actually fiscal responsibility and prudence is really what's required. Ray Mahlaka, Daily Maverick journalist, joins us to help us understand exactly where we are in this particular situation. Ray, welcome back.
Good morning, Rufilo. It's been a long time, hey?
It has been. Let's dive right into this. What did you see in the proceedings yesterday at the Labour Appellate Court?
Well, both parties, trade unions representing public servants and the government, had an opportunity to lay their heads of arguments, over the wage dispute. In the one corner, we have the government that says that the wage agreement that was entered into in 2018 is illegal and it's invalid because the circumstances from a public finances perspective have changed since 2018, and it can no longer afford to stick to the agreement and pay public servants inflation-beating salary increases because public finances, there's a lot of demands on public finances in terms of the COVID-19 pandemic. So that's the main and salient argument put on the table by the government. It also says that as early as 2018, when Malusi Gigaba was the finance minister, he declared to unions that the government cannot afford to stick to the three-year wage agreement because it will be unaffordable at some stage. We are currently in that state at the moment. But unions, on the other hand, challenged the government's argument, saying that if the wage agreement was not affordable to implement this year, why comply, on it for 2 years, 2018 and 2019? So unions have raised this contradiction. And they also, raised a valid point about, if the government is losing money to corruption, and deliberately so, why can't it stick to, the salary increases that are part of a wage agreement, which, okay, by the way, is a contract between the state and public servants, and the government cannot walk away from that binding contract. So those are the two salient arguments that were canvassed yesterday at the Labour Court.
A fair argument that you're raising there, that if it's being lost to corruption, then why not pay us our increases? But it's also something that the average taxpayer could ask with respect to service delivery.
That's right. Yeah.
And I'd be curious to know, as you rightly point out, this would chow 60% of our budget for 2% of the population. It just doesn't seem to make a great deal of sense, and probably didn't make sense in the signing of the agreement in the first place.
It didn't. I mean, why does the government, enter into three-year wage agreements in the first place? It also helps the government to plan for the liability on compensation for public servants over a three-year period. If you know what to expect in terms of how much you will pay, public servants over a three-year period, it sort of allows you to plan for it. But, unfortunately, it is the government's fault because it entered into, the wage agreement that offers public servants, inflation-beating salary increases to the point that, if salary increases are implemented this year, it means that it will cost the government an extra 37.8 billion rand, rather. And that will push up this expenditure on compensation to nearly 50% of tax revenue, the revenue that the government collects in the form of taxes that it charges you and I and everybody who's listening this morning. I mean, 50% for 1.2 million public servants, I mean, that's just 2% of the population. Then it means that 40% is only remaining for the government to roll out service delivery initiatives, pay our debt as well, government debt, which is expected to top, I think, about 2 trillion rand this year, and also interest payments on debt as well. So really, the spend on compensation for public servants, it really clouds our spending for crucial service delivery programs.
It certainly does. And that's, again, more of a representation of poor fiscal planning in the first place. But if we talk about the aberrations of this particular year, I mean, we've got business interruption insurance and things like that. Surely there's a force majeure that can be claimed by government. I don't know. I'm not trying to force you to be a lawyer. But yeah, to suggest that, you know, again, when this document was signed, we were an investment grade country. We had a different president altogether. We were, we had completely different, focuses and priorities at the time. There's a completely new administration. Is there something to be said for a new administration being allowed new rules?
Yeah. I mean, you know, there is a case for the government to claim that, COVID-19 was unexpected. And also in the private sector, a lot of, workers are expected to take pay cuts or worse, job losses as well. Whereas in the public sector, public servants, as you said, they play an important role. Some of them are on the front lines of the COVID-19 battle. We appreciate their efforts. But in the public sector, there is job security. There hasn't been job losses so far or retrenchments, as far as I'm aware. Public servants have not been asked to take pay cuts at all. So there is job security and pay security as well in the public sector. So the government, and that's the argument that the government advanced yesterday at the Labour Court. It says that the COVID-19 pandemic was unexpected. The devastation on public finances was not expected or planned for as well. And there are other, response measures that the government has to urgently, respond to related to COVID. And I guess some lawyer would craft a much crafty, argument than I did, Rafila.
You did pretty well, though. So where to from here, Ray, with respect to this case?
Yeah, so the judgment was reserved yesterday because the judges want to apply their minds on the arguments that were placed before the court. But the government has also thrown another spanner in the works. It has offered public servants a settlement in the form of a cash bonus, a one-off cash bonus, that is expected to be effective from December. The government wants the matter to be settled out of court, and the government is hoping to entice public servants with a cash bonus. So it wants to advance those. It wants to have out-of-court talks with public servants in order to settle the matter out of court. But as far as I know, the court case is still going on, and the Labour Court is expected to deliver its judgment. We're not sure about the timing, but we know that the Labour Appeal Court matters are expedited, so we might expect a judgment in the next few weeks.
And the idea, sorry, just to be clear, that cash bonus coming out of their pension, the government employees' pension plan.
That's right. So the contribution of the employer, which is the government, their portion will be paid out as a cash bonus. But the government has not yet unveiled what the cash settlement is. But we know that trade unions have said that the cash bonus will be funded from employers' contribution to pension savings.
Mm. Interesting stuff. Ray, thanks for your continuous reporting. Check out his piece in the Daily Maverick for more details. Ray Mahlaka is a journalist at the Daily Maverick and always holding government's feet to the fire, and we appreciate it a great deal. Cheers, Ray. Catch up with you soon.